This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Chris, as the calendar turns to June and summer is upon us, there are still some football activities. And nice reporting by you on the OTAs, buddy. And you put out some interesting stuff. And I guess we'll start with a guy that you actually interviewed last year who...
Jerry, before we get into football, I got a story to tell.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, bro, but I know we're going to get into Shane Lemieux, but I just want to tell this one story before we talk football, okay? Mm-hmm. So I got to tell a story. So last Tuesday, this previous Tuesday, a couple days ago, I leave the gym in one of my half-ass, you know, workouts that really doesn't do shit, but I still go to the gym for some reason, right? So... I'm driving, you know, just shows you what a buffoon I am. So I leave the gym. Where am I going? Dunkin' Donuts right after that, right? So I'm driving. There's a guy in a red truck in front of me. And I see him snapping his head back, looking at me. And I'm saying to myself, well, he doesn't look familiar. He's not looking to clip me because he's making it too obvious. So he just, I'm like, obviously this guy
knows me. It's amazing that that's the second thought in your head.
I'm like, well, did I do something in style and this guy's looking to clip me? I said, right. No, it's too obvious. The guy's looking back like he knows me, but I don't recognize him at all, right? Mm. So I said, well, this guy is mistaking me. Driving down a little bit more, all of a sudden, Jerry, he's holding up this giant shirt. I said, holy shit, this guy knows me from the insider. Mm. How? I don't know. I mean, I know my face has been on here sometimes, but I drive up alongside of him. The guy whips the window down. I look at him. He goes, Chris, right? From the insider?
No shit. Jerry,
I look at him. I go, yeah. He goes, holy shit. He goes, I listen to your podcast every week, right? So I go, dude, I said, there's a Dunkin' Donuts straight ahead. I said, you got time? Pull into the Dunkin' Donuts lot.
Man of the people.
The guy pulls into the lot. He pulled over. The guy's name is Steve Itak. He's a, I believe, Steve, I know I actually said I'm probably going to screw up your name, Steve, so I hope I didn't. Steve Itak. An avid Giant Insider podcast listener, Jerry. He pulls off, he gets out, he goes, I said, dude, how the hell did you know it was me? Yeah. He goes, well, I've seen your face sometimes on Twitter. And I'm like, holy shit. I said, you should have been. Are you a cop, dude? I said, because that's unbelievable how you reckon. I mean, Jerry, in my I got tinted windows. Mind you, Jerry, I got tinted windows in my truck.
Right.
Right? How does dude in front of me recognize? I mean, it's not like I'm a TV figure. Like, oh, okay, there's Bob Papa. You know what I mean? I mean, you're like, dude.
That's great.
It was incredible how this guy even recognized me. So we get out, and we're talking. Just a great guy. So, like, around my age, listens to the podcast religiously, Jerry, him and his wife. Big-time Giants fans at the draft party. So we're in a parking lot. Steve Itak, his name is. He says, yo, he said, Chris, I know you live, you know, in Huntington County. And he goes, I looked for a few times. I cut through here. And I'm like, holy crap, you know? So I'm like, yo, Steve, I said, that's amazing that, you know, you even went in front of me. But anyway, the point, we were talking for about 15, 20 minutes about Giants football. He asking me, you know, this and that. We talked about the podcast. Jerry, he said he grew up, I think he grew up in West Windsor. Is that by you somewhere,
Yeah, it's
Jerry?
right next to me.
Okay, so he said, tell Jerry I grew up in, I used to live in West Windsor, something like that.
Yeah.
He goes, that's right by Robbinsville.
Yep.
Okay. I tell you what, Steve, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast. And so Steve, shout out to you again. He knows what I'm talking about. We bullshitted for like 20 minutes in the parking lot about a lot of Giants stuff. How the dude knew who the hell I was. I don't know how the dude did it. I really don't. And like I said, Joe, I don't know what this guy. I was like, this guy's mistaken with somebody. Until he whipped up that Giant shirt. And I'm saying, this guy's trying to get my attention.
That's hilarious.
No, so I couldn't believe it, dude. So him and his wife, shout out to him and his wife. They're going to come to training camp, and he's gonna reach out. So I'll hook up with him and his wife, you know, just to talk a little bit when he comes. He goes, training camp will be open to the fans again this year. And I just wanted to say that, Jerry. Just remarkable, you know, that this.
Yeah, and guys, Chris didn't tell me this before the podcast. This is hilarious. That's awesome, man. Look, man of the people pulling over to the park.
I don't know about man of the people.
And then just the fact that he recognized you. That's awesome.
Jerry, I said, oh, this dude, you know, he's mistaking me. Like I said, he's not looking to blow my brains out. But I said, because the guy's making it too obvious. So I said, when he held up that giant shirt, I'm like, this dude's trying to get my attention. Who is this guy, you know? Anyway, so Steve, good talking to you again, brother. I'm sure I'll see you in the future and all that. So, Jerry, I just wanted to mention that. So there's so many, you know, look, Jerry, we've talked about it, man. There's so many just good people, man, that we've come to know.
Yes.
Right, Jerry? We've come to know over the years, listening to the podcast, either or via Twitter, DMs, whatever the hell it might be, right, Jerry? So many good people, man.
Yeah.
That we've come to know over the years with this, you know, doing this social media stuff and
Everything bad on social media, there's 10 good things. There's 10 good people. So
I thought it was good stuff. The guy goes way back, Jerry. The guy's like my age. I think he might have even had a few years on it, going back to the 80s and just a diehard fan, dude. Asking what does it look like, this and that, and all that. So good stuff, dude. I just wanted to mention that. I told Steve, I got to mention the story on the podcast, bro. This is incredible, So
that's great, man.
Yeah, so it was good stuff.
And you like the enthusiasm too, right? Like it's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely,
like part of it is recognize you, then also talking Giants. Like they know that we're so hopefully headed in the right direction. That's good stuff. Like the enthusiasm.
Yeah. So, he asked me some judge stuff. I gave him a couple of inside things on judge stuff that Steve liked and and all that. So it was good stuff, bro. I just wanted to
mention. It's also kind of remarkable that we don't do much video stuff, so that he recognized you.
I'm not here to say, hey, some dude recognized
me. Yeah, right.
Dude,
right.
I'm not on TV.
Right.
I'm like, and mind you, Jerry, it's not like I had a giant sweatshirt on, a guy staring at me, standing next to me in the line, going, oh, I think this one. The dude was in a truck in front of me. Right. Looking at my truck, mind you, and I have tinted windows, so it has to be a little bit unbelievable that this guy even, I just wanted to mention it, Jerry.
So my experience on the other side of that is I'll run into a Giants fan, let's say Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks coffee line, say, and I'll say, oh, you're a Giants fan. Yeah, big fan. You listen to any podcasts? No, not really. Oh, we're Giant Insider. Never heard of it. So that's my experience usually.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny, Jerry, because I've had a few experiences playing golf with Giant fans. And one guy, I played with this one guy, and he really didn't know us, but the son was an avid Giant Insider guy. And he's like, and he calls his son right there on the golf course, hey, you're not going to believe who I'm playing golf with right now. And his son's like, oh, Dad, I'm listening to it. You know, Jerry, the guy's like, Chris Bisignano for the Giant. The kid's like, oh, could you put me on the phone? Like, I'm some guy. I wanted to say, yo, I'm some buffoon. Don't worry. You know what I mean? So. And the guy puts me on the phone with his son, and I'm talking to him. He goes, oh, my God, I love you and Jerry. I listen to the podcast. I love the Twitter. So it's, you know what, Jerry? It just makes you feel like, all right, you know what? People are really enjoying the product. Right, dude? They're really enjoying
absolutely.
At least a lot of people are. You know what I mean, Jerry?
I like when we get the tweets like, guys, where the hell is the podcast? And I'm like, oh, guys, we'll get there. Just give us,
It's once a week this time of year. And then... we'll be kicking it up twice when camp starts, so.
I think I told you this, though. I got a buddy who has said, asked me about you. Like, how's Chris doing? I'm like, he's fine. What do you, almost like you're, like you said, Bob Papa. He'll be like, so how's Chris making out? He's like, all right, he's good. Everything's
tell
good.
Tell him his Red Sox are struggling. He's not doing good at all. Tell him.
I'm only baseball, kidding, man. We'll leave baseball out of this.
So Jerry, thanks for that, bro. I just wanted to mention that story. I wanted to throw Steve's out there. It was a good time. So Jerry, last year for the newspaper, I interviewed Shane Lemieux. And if you remember, I said, Jerry, great, just a great dude, man. You would never, he's the type of guy, obviously flips the switch when he gets on the field because he's a nasty, guy. We know that on the football field, but just an absolute sweetheart off the field. Real good dude. So I see him yesterday. And I've been reporting, and yesterday's OTA, Shane's been with the ones. I mean, it's obviously going to be his job to lose heading into, training camp next month. Yeah. Mandatory mini camp is next week. And it was a little bit of a surprise for me. And I mentioned this before. I did not think he was going to be the number one left guard heading into this offseason, heading into these OTAs, and eventually heading into this training camp. So I see Shane yesterday. He was going to be on the podium after Mark Lewinsky. And I get Shane on the side. And I said, yo, Shane, first off, how you doing, bro? I said, how's the leg? I said, no red jersey. He's like, yo, Chris, the leg is great. He goes, I'm feeling good. I just want to get better every day. And I'm just happy to be back out here, man. He goes, I'm happy to be on the football field after what the hell happened to me last, And I said, you know, Shane, I said, you know, not for nothing. I said, but it's your job to lose, bro. I said, you've been with the ones. It's, hey, I'm happy for you, man. It's your, you know, and he goes, we'll see in training camp. You know, just a humble dude, bro. You know, and I was, he goes, we'll see. He goes, Chris, we'll see in training camp. You know, we'll see what happens. I said, Shane, oh, I said, the writing's on the wall. I said, you're the number one guy. It's your job to lose. We all see it. We're not blind out here. And he laughs. He goes, well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, everything works out well. And then he went on a podium. You know, some people were asking about his pass pro and PFF grades. And, you know, he kind of like shot that down. He goes, well, you know, I respect PFF, but, you know, coaches a lot of times see different things than PFF, which is true, Jerry. I can tell you that for a fact, you know.
Yeah.
PFF is a nice tool to have, no question about it. But coaches don't look at PFF grades and go, okay, well, this guy can't do this, he can't do that because, you know, some PFF grade comes out 65.1, whatever the hell they do, you know. And they do great work. Don't get me wrong. They do great work. But so that's the story with Shane, Jerry. He's been out there. He's healthy. No red jersey at all. He talked about yesterday how pissed off he was. He actually had to miss games. He didn't even miss practices in Oregon. You know what I mean? And here he is missing a season. He tried to give it a go last year. He couldn't do it. He finally told the coaches, listen, I'm not quitting. He goes, but I just can't go out there, which for that guy is probably the equivalent of getting shot with a 30-06 in a kneecap. I mean, that's how tough he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The injury that he had. So, I'm happy to see it. We'll see what happens, Jerry. He's going to have, you know, the veteran Garcia. He's going to have the rookie competing against him, too. And we'll see what he does. But it's his job to lose, dude.
They had a good exchange with the coach, no? Like, you liked me so much. Why didn't you pick me? With Johnson.
Funny because, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry, because I mentioned to him on the side. He also, on the side. That's right. I tweeted that. I forgot. I was like, how did you know that? Because he didn't say it in a podium. I forgot I tweeted it. Because I was talking to him on the side. I said, yo, I said, Shane, Bobby Johnson told us that he loved you coming out of college. They were looking at you. And he said, man, I'd love to coach that guy one day. And Lemieux goes to me. He goes, yeah, he goes, he told me that too the first time he met me. And I said to him, why didn't you guys draft me? You know, like laughing, you know.
That's awesome.
So you know how the draft works out, whatever the hell it falls. But, so Bobby Johnson, he's getting it. You know, he fits what Brian Daboll and Bobby Johnson want, Jerry. And they want nasty guys in the interior of that line.
Right.
They want guys that are pushing that defensive line, run blocking. And look, within the rules, nasty dudes, you know.
Right.
And they feel they got it. They feel – we all know Lemieux. We've seen what he – has done in the past, how chippy he could be. Feliciano's called dirtbag for a reason. Okay. And Mark Lewinsky is a nice, physical, chippy dude over there, right guard. So they got, you know, that aspect. But now it's just a matter of going out and playing well, you know. So we'll see where we're at, man.
And a week has gone by since we last spoke. And safe to say, Chris, everybody's still excited about Evan Neal, too. So
Mark Lewinsky was very excited about Evan Neal, too. Mark Lewinsky called him dominant yesterday. And he also said, he goes, if this kid gets his hands on you, it's over.
Yeah.
He said, it's over. So, I mean, that's an 8-year veteran we're talking about. High praise, you know, of a guy who's been around the NFL wars, you know, football wars on the field. Glinski. But Jerry, you can't help but be impressed. And you'll see it in training camp, dude. You know, I've seen it a lot now at the OTAs. I'll see it again next week at the mandatory camp. But you can't help but be impressed with this kid, Neal. Now, we'll see, you know, when the preseason games start, and obviously when the season starts, his growth and development and all that stuff. But, you know, hey, look, Jack, you know, it's my job to go out there in these OTAs and next week the camp and then training camp to report what the hell's going on the field.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. I don't have to be reminded, folks, by some people. I understand it's shorts. I understand there's no competition, you know, as far as an opposing squad play.
Right.
I understand it's not a regular season game. I know all that, you know, I know. But it is my job to tell people what's going on the field. Right. I don't have to put down, you know, like, you know, a nice throw by Daniel to, but he can't do that in a game. Oh, yeah, but let's not forget this shorts on with these guys. Folks, I know. I'm just reporting what's going on. You know, most people want to know what the hell is going on, good and bad. It can't all be good,
right?
And it can't all be bad. It just, what's going on the field.
Chris, look, sorry to pivot here, but can I ask you about a tweet that was sent to you?
Sent to me?
About 13 hours ago. Since we were talking fans before, I want you to clarify this for me.
Let me see if I don't know if I read this tweet. Go ahead.
No, you did.
I did?
Don't play golf against Chris. He will take your money. Fair but ruthless. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
All right. I'm sorry.
What it means
take
is
your
that
money.
What it means, somehow or another, I guess this person, I think I know who it is. This person, it's this guy Dave, real good dude. Kind of, I guess, you know, I heard the reputation of me playing a little possum and then playing against a few people that get a little arrogant, you know, like the Ranger fans.
Like get a little arrogant. Oh, come on. I can't enjoy the Rangers' run.
They get a little arrogant, and then I have to kind of take them out a little bit and you know, on the golf course and just all of a sudden start hitting, you know, kick it up a couple of notches. It's just to calm down the arrogance. Like the Lightning might do tonight to calm down the Ranger arrogance.
Since you've gotten to it, everybody's got to calm down. And please, guys, Igor's better. Please don't do that to this guy. Please do not do that to Vasilevskiy. I get it. It's the heat of the moment, but don't do that.
Better right now, dude.
I just want to enjoy this. And I got to hear that Igor's better. Yeah, it's a great champ, but it's Vasilevskiy, man. Have that much respect, guys.
Rangers look good, bro.
I know.
Could your Ranger fans, I don't get the, I hope the Devil fans are enjoying the golf course. Like, guys, you haven't won any damn thing in 40 years. Stop. I mean, relax.
28. And yes, everybody's got to calm down. Got to enjoy it. God. Everybody enjoy it.
Enjoy it, guys. You're
trying to enjoy it.
Relax. You're not a perennial contender. Calm down.
The future's, they're young.
Future's bright, anything like that. But you'd be surprised how quickly it could turn, you know?
They should be happy. They're a year ahead. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I guess that's what that was about.
Okay. Because take your money. I'm like, is he hustling people on the golf course now? Is this what's going on? I just want to understand.
Well, I can't mention things like that, but I don't know. So I'm going to pass on talking about that.
All right. Wow.
But I'm not hustling anybody for money. No, I'm not. This isn't the pool version of the hustle.
I was like, Fast Eddie, Fast Chris. Oh, my God. No. Anyway. All right, back to the Giants. Sorry, I had to ask that question. Thibodeau, red
Thibodeau
jersey.
Has a red jersey on. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you know, you could sense a little bit of angst from the fans. Like, what do you make of this?
Well, I got to be honest with you, Jerry. I was a little surprised by Dable's answer yesterday, too. And he was not really saying he's going to be good for the mandatory minicamp next and even training camp. He was like, yeah, we should be there. And it's, you know, I asked him, about him and Thomas yesterday about, are we going to see the red jerseys? And he's like, well, we'll see, they're working hard in the rehab and like that. And then somebody asked somebody asked me specifically about Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And he didn't give a, oh, no, he'll be back next year. Oh, he's fine. He's just like, oh, he keeps working. I mean, I look at him working on his side and I don't see nothing like that's going to hold him up, Jerry. But I was a little surprised by the answer. So I think that. That's kind of worrying some fans now. Like, whoa, what's going on here? The engine warning, that they're letting on. And all I could say, everybody, is I saw him running on the side. Yes, I saw him work. And I don't see no limp. I don't see nothing like, oh, man, what's going on? Nothing like that. But it is what it is. We'll see now at the mandatory camp. We'll see if he has the red jersey on next week. If he does, Jerry, then we'll have to see in July.
And Dable's forthcoming with injury information, right?
Yeah, just as... he's I know you're being sarcastic. Dable's not going to talk about injuries too much.
Right.
He's, it's look, Jerry, we're all getting to know him, right? So we're all getting to know Dable and
big Ranger fan. Sorry.
And he is. Big Ranger fan. I didn't know Joe Shane's been there a lot of times.
Oh, that was great. The other night when he pointed to Shane.
Yeah.
How about the crowd reaction from the Garden for those two? Yeah. Baby.
That's the first time that I've heard of Shane being there.
Me too.
And then Dable said yesterday, no, he's been there a lot.
Wow.
He just, So obviously Dable's the one that's been on the board.
Yeah.
All the time. But Shane's been there a lot too. According to Dable, Shane's been there a lot. So they're really taking in this Ranger drive, bro. The whole city is there. There's people coming from all over. And they're sucking up this Ranger, deep run here. So
But yeah, Dable doesn't get.
But Dable's not going to talk about injuries. you could tell. So listen, Jerry, you know, it's a new coach. You got to, you know, you ask him and you got to see how they react. And you got to feel that he's new, the new guy, how he's going to respond. And his response is going to be, yeah, they're working on. Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, so that's where we're at with Dable.
Right. Sorry to jump around, but somebody who is taking advantage of the reps, at least now, with some the wide receivers in, not playing, is Wandale Robinson, eh?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely. He's doing a lot of different things, man. You know what, Jerry? These reps, they are really helping him, man. I mean, you know, listen, we haven't seen Galladay. You know, obviously we know Shep's going to be out till September, October. And Kadarius has had the red jersey on, you know. So, you know, Wandale's jumping in there, man, and he is getting these reps. And guys like him and, you know, even CJ Boards, Jerry, taking advantage of the offseason, you know?
Yeah, it's a guy completely forgotten about, too, CJ Boards.
Right. No, so, you know, these are some guys, Jerry, that are doing some things in these OTAs and, you know, catching the coach's attention. It's the new coaching staff, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And they're catching the coaching staff's attention, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They're helping themselves. You know, obviously, you know, Wandell's, you know, is a kid that's really coming along. And really impressing in these OTAs. Yeah, you know, that's all I could say. The kid's really impressing. He's doing so many things on the field, including working with punt returns, Jerry.
Yeah.
And you know, there was some issues about his hands, you know.
Right.
Coming out of college. Mm. And
catches too many with his body, they said.
And I haven't seen him, you know, I haven't seen that as an issue yet.
Okay.
You know. So it's been, this has really been helpful for his development. No question.
Which fast and shifty is as we hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Real fast and shifty, and you know he can stretch the field, and you kind of, like you said, you know, when they go to these team drills, you kind of get a feel what they want to do with him a little bit, you know, and it's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of balls in space, and let the kid do his thing, you know. But he's going to stretch the field though. Dable wants to be aggressive with Jones, and you've seen it a little bit in these OTAs.
Yeah.
Taking shots down the field, you know, and all that. So a lot of quick slants with this, with Robinson, and all that. So it's, look, you know, he's taking advantage of the additional reps, Jerry, that he's getting. You know, with with guys like Galladay not on the field, Tony not on the field, and all that. So
yeah, staying on the offense, looks like our new tight end. Sounds like it. Like I expected him to be a bit of a project, and again, it's early, but just bear with us. Seems like he's every time I read a tweet, he's catching a touchdown from Daniel Jones. Am I making too much of that or what?
No, I mean, that's what's happening. You know, that's what's happening. I mean, me and you understand, you know, it'll kick up in training camp and preseason. We know that, you know, but at least the kid's making plays on the field during OTAs. He's not looking like some tomato. Like, and you look at him and you go, well, what the hell we draft this kid for? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, the kid's making plays. He's a big boy. You know, he's a big boy that could be used in the red, you know? Yeah. So, and that's what you're seeing. He's OTA. Like, yeah, Daniel hit him again yesterday. Daniel fired a ball into him yesterday. I think they were on the five, Jerry. We were on the other side of the field, but it's tough to see exactly what it was. I think they were like around the 5-yard line. And,
yeah.
And Daniel fired a ball into Bellinger for a touchdown. You know, he shielded the, like, sort of like going for a rebound. You know, boxed out his defender and made a nice grab. And that's what you've been seeing with
Bellinger. Yeah, and that's my point. Like, you know, we're obviously all excited about Thibodeau and Neal and what they bring to the table. But, you know, Robinson, Bellinger, you know, these guys are, they could be nice picks for us. And they're getting me excited already just reading about the OTAs and the practices so far. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not ecstatic that, you know, the other wide receivers aren't playing, but at least Robinson is showing something. And like you said, it's not like he's out there and you say, what the hell did we draft this kid for? He can't do anything.
right. Exactly. So, which we've seen over the years, right, Jerry?
Right.
So
I still go back to Demontre Moore. You weren't, you know, we weren't even the insider.
And you're like, this guy's mad terrible. At me. Anyway. He yelled at me. He kind of looked at me like he was mad. Because I said I called him lazy from outside the gate. You know?
That's awesome.
Which I turned out to be correct, right? I mean, he was basically,
accurate on that one.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, nice. Look, the kid Robinson is, He's impressive so far, man. What do I tell you? You know, yeah. I'm not going to keep tweeting. He's impressive, but it's shorts and it's not for. Come on.
In parentheses, you know, right. I know, guys. Shorts. Yes.
I know, guys. Shorts. OTA. Right. No. Yeah, he's been impressive, man. Yeah. You know.
And overall, does Jones look? Does Jones look comfortable with this offense? Okay. So this time last year, how does he look?
Like Jones.
Okay.
Look, folks. I'm going to be honest with you.
Damn it.
He looks like Daniel Jones. What do you mean by that, Chris? Well, he'll make a great throw. And then there was like two balls yesterday where Saquon, who's very much involved in the passing game so far in these OTAs. So when Saquon is running a little swing route and he's got space in front of him, right, Jerry? Mm-hmm. Jones has to hit him. He has to place the ball in front of Saquon.
Lead receiver, Daniel.
Right? So when Saquon catches it, he's in stride to do his thing in space.
Right.
Well, I'm there with two guys yesterday. We're talking, and I see a pass out in front of Saquon, can't catch it. And I'm like, dude, that can't happen. Like, Daniel, that cannot happen. It's an easy little swing route. When I saw it, I think it was Cordell Flott who was coming over. But in a game, Saquon would have plenty of room to operate, okay? Let Saquon do Saquon things in the open with open space, which is what Brian Daboll wants. He wants playmakers in space. That's his offense. That's what he wants to do, right, Jerry? Either via jet, either via swing, wheel, little quick slant, whatever it might be, right? Yeah. So I said and the fan of me came out, Jerry. I was with these two guys.
Neil, come on.
No. What I did say was, that can't happen.
Yeah.
I said, did you see that? Yeah, no, Chris. Yeah, no. You know, it looked like a bad. I said, guys, it's a freaking swing. Yeah. Saquon, did you see the space, Saquon? No, I didn't even see it. Did he have space? Hey, guys, what are you looking at? Stop talking to me and look at the damn plays, I said to them, these two guys I was with, right? I said, stop talking to me. Look at the plays. I said, he had a ton of space in front of him. Saquon catches in the game. Like you say, well, you know, Jerry, practice leads to the field.
Yeah,
right,
if you're not
Jerry?
Doing it in practice, right.
Right. So that's things like that. It's like, Daniel, come on, dude. You got to hit. Me and you could have hit that. Joe Shane could have hit that little swing. You know what I mean? The point being is that, look, Jones looks phenomenal at times. He's throwing the ball well at times. And then there's two or three, like you just say to yourself, Daniel, what the hell? You have to hit that play, you know?
So is it a thing where he's hot and cold too? Like, are there moments where you're like, where'd that come from or no?
Jerry, it's basically what we've seen a lot in the last 3 years, inconsistency.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's not like a hot streak where you can't miss a ball for 15 straight throws. Oh, it's a bad streak where he can't throw a ball right for two of these. You know, it's just the inconsistency, dude. And look, Dable's high-fiving him. He's praising him, building up his confidence stuff. But there's just some things you look at, and, you know, people ask about Daniel, and it's like some things, again, it's like, Daniel, that can't happen, you know? But look, the offense is going to be suited towards him more. And as the progress, you know, as the process moves along, I should say the process, but as the process, you know, let him get more comfortable in the system. But that's not a system thing right there. You know what when I say that, Jerry, right. Just described, Jerry,
yeah,
that's not a system thing. No. That's quarterback 101 right there.
Yeah.
When a receiver's running a little flat route, you have to get that ball out in front of him so he could turn that to the left sideline, so he could turn that right shoulder and head upfield in one stride. You get it?
Yeah.
When he has to go back a little bit, boom, timing off, defender's there. This isn't college. You know, you don't have much time out there in this league, you know?
And sorry to always make the comparison, but, you know, you kind of said it. Like, it's not a case where he's hit 10 in a row, 12 in a row, where you're like, wow, he's really on. That's what made Eli, right? He would have those streaks where there were times where Eli couldn't hit anything, and then all of a sudden he rattles off, I don't know, 12 straight passes. And that's what you're hoping to see with this kid, because you've seen – you know, the good and the bad, but hopefully with training camp, this improves. But, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens. Yeah. It's not a downer. It's just what you kind of expect to hear.
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's Daniel at times, you know, Daniel at times. But the system is going to be suited for him, and we'll see how he, you know, We'll see how he adapts to it. If he takes the next step, we'll see, Jerry. You know?
Yep. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second.
One thing I have noticed, and it's going to be interesting in the mandatory camp next week and then obviously training camp, that a lot of these wink blitzes that they're showing, guys are running free to the quarterback, bro, that I getting picked up. Wow. So some of these, there's been a few times that they would have been sacks in games, you know. But guys were just blitzing and like running free, bro, to the quarterback. So
like what guys? Just curious. What's he sending? Like,
Coughlin one time. Jihad Ward.
Nice.
And I'm trying to think there was one other. Xavier McKinney from the slot. He was fine. From the slot. And you know what they'll do a lot of times, they'll come in the back and they'll raise their hand, otherwise tell them that would have been a sack, you know, while the quarterback scrambles right, throws a ball, you know, keeps the play going. But it's gonna be curious to see how the offense deals with Wink Martindale's defense as we move along, because there were some guys that were blitzing yesterday that were running free. They weren't getting picked up.
Now, when that happens, is there a lot of yelling going on offense? No. I'm just curious. No? Okay.
No. Dable, I'm sure, look, they'll talk about it later on when they look at the film and all that. I haven't heard Dable yell one time. Now, I heard he gets his, you know, he's pretty stern, gets his point across when he needs to. But as far as a yell on the field, nothing like Judge. I mean, Judge was a screamer on the field. And so far, Dable hasn't been like that at all. And he gets his point across. Somebody told me, oh, look, I was talking to a guy yesterday that's at all the OTAs, you know. And he was like, oh, no, trust me, he'll stop and he'll get his point across to the players, you know what I mean, this and that. But he's just not like a big screamer, Jerry. That seems to be his style.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know if he would a blitz like that, where his quarterback's going to be hung out to dry, if that's enough to get him going. But let's talk
I'm sure it does down the road. When they look at it on film and they sit in the meetings, Jerry, I'm sure it does.
Let's talk about that. With Thibodeau out, who's been lining up in his place? Is it just like a rotation? And what are you seeing there on the edge?
Well, it's been Ellison Smith.
Yeah.
You know, it's been Jihad Ward.
Jihad Ward get you excited or no?
Well, you know, look, he's got a resume. And he is what it is. He'll get to the quarterback a little bit. He'll get some pressures.
Yeah.
That's who he is, you know. He's a guy, you know, is that like somebody you just drafted and go, well, you know, how's he look? You know, what do you see? You know Jihad Ward from Baltimore. So he's a guy who's going to, you know, he's going to get some pressures. He's a nice little edge guy, Jerry. He's a nice little edge guy. So, Ellison Smith and Quincy Roche, you know, so those guys have been going back and forth and all that. And obviously, you know, Aziz, you know, so.
You said a name before, Carter Coughlin, which almost a forgotten man on the Giants defense.
He's been on the inside.
Okay.
Getting some reps with the ones.
Good.
Carter Coughlin. He's a guy's going to get a good look at. They're going to look at him, I think, pretty strong in his camp, Jerry, you know. But he has been on the inside so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then in the secondary, Flott.
Yes.
Is Flott the starting slot corner right now still?
Look, I think it's a competition. You know, he's been getting reps with the ones, and Donnie Holmes has been getting reps with the ones. I think it's those two guys' job. That's the competition, Jerry. They'll battle it out in camp.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, Aaron Robinson, the veteran Michael Jacquet has been out there competing a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, he's got a little bit of resume too, where you kind of look at him and say, okay, you know, he does some good things in his OTAs, but you know, when the bell rings, he probably won't be there. You know, it's that look, so many interesting position battles, Jerry, is going to be who's going to win opposite of Adoree, right? Right now, Aaron Robinson is in the driver's seat. The Flott Donnie Holmes competition is going to be pretty interesting in that slot, you know.
Right.
Look, Flott is not a big kid, but he's a physical kid, dude. You know, he's a physical guy.
Right.
You know, and I like him, Joe. Watching him yesterday in coverage and, you know, lining up, he seems to, you know, he doesn't seem to be confused when Wink says. He seems to be grasping Wink Martindale's system, you know. It's little things, Joe. You know, sometimes I'll just focus on one guy, you know, to see how he's lining up, to see if he's looking around, to see if he looks like he's lost, you know what I mean?
Right.
If somebody else, like McKinney's point, like over here, like you know, you're like, I haven't really seen that with Flott. You know, he seems to be grasping the system really well, man, you know. And look, Sean O'Hara put something out the other day on video.
Yeah.
And Sean is 100% correct. And you watch him, and when you watch him in LSU, and you You know, the kid is not, like I said, Jerry, he's not a big kid, but he's a physical kid. And, he, you know, Sean Harris, he's a real smart kid, Jerry, on the field. You could tell he's a smart kid. He picks up things pretty quickly. And that's what the coaches said about him. Look, the kid, he'll make a mistake, but boom, he won't make it again. Like, you know, he's pretty quick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Prime example was that Sean O'Hara video he showed of Cordell Flott the other day. And he was in that zone coverage, right? And he turned his head in zone. Can't do that. Zone coverage is all about eyes, right?
Yeah.
But he quickly recovered.
Yeah.
Got back to his zone responsibility and then came up, boom. And like Sean said, O'Hara said, it wasn't some bull crap, you know, half-assed tackle. It was boom. He stuck that shoulder in the midsection, knocked that ball loose, right? Oh, yeah. I know. Oh, right? And it was a turnover for LSU at the time. So I loved it. I loved how quickly he recovered after making his initial mistake of turning his body, turning his head. Can't do that in zone.
Right.
You know, can't do that in zone. And Sean pointed it out, you know, said, and then he came up and boom, he put a hit. And which, you know, that's what he did in college. And that's what, I'm, you know, when once he started hitting in camp a little bit, and obviously preseason up in New England, their first game, that's it. Look for this kid. He's going to come up, boom, he's gonna put a hit on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to look for with this guy, and obviously he'll be battling out with Donnay and stuff like that.
So despite the loss of Bradberry and Logan Ryan, it doesn't sound like you're, like, the secondary is not the biggest concern for you on this team.
Well, I'm not in panic mode, like I said. It's a concern. No, it's going to be a concern in the opposite.
But it's not the biggest concern, though. It doesn't sound like
the biggest concern. It's still going to be the offensive line, Jerry. You know, until they prove they could go. Look. The biggest concern right now to me is going to be the offensive line. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody, you know, thinks it's improved, but Jerry, until they start showing they're improved, right?
Yep.
That's when the concern level drops.
Yeah.
Right. When Evan Neal is showing that, hey, I got this over here, right tackle. Right. Andrew's healthy, left tackle. And then we got somebody, you know, and you got the Gawinski, and they're improving, Jerry, and they're run blocking, and they're giving Daniel some time. Then that concern level is, you know what I mean? Then it drops. But right now, it's still a concern, you know?
Anything else you want to cover before we get to questions?
Just one quick thing. You know, I talked about the fight last week and some haymakers thrown, and Dable was asked about it. And Dable was just like, put him on to the next play, you know. So, which is kind of like I reported last week. I said, look, like Dable just like threw him on the side and says, okay, let's go, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, some coaches get pissed off, you know, some guys grab the team, they huddle. I've seen the whole team huddle up and right after something like that.
Oh, I was there when Sherman did it once,
right?
Evan Engram and was it Evan Engram and Eli Apple, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Long time ago.
Right. And they, you know,
Eli Apple was there his first year, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, teams, a lot of times coaches will stop play, they'll get everybody, and, you know, Dable did do that yesterday. Nothing to do with a fight. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the practice, he gathered the whole team.
Yeah.
At midfield. And I was like, whoa. Now, I looked at my cell phone for the time. I said, well, no way practice is over. You know, it was like 11:30, 11:15. It was supposed to end like 12:15. I was like, well, no way this practice is over. I said, so it looked like maybe Dable wasn't happy with the intensity or the way they were practicing. Not screaming, Jerry. Not yelling.
Yeah. Right.
But he was talking in the middle of the huddle. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody went back to the positions and the practice continued. I thought that was interesting yesterday. So I guess Dable wasn't too happy with what was going on. But you could see Dable is not going to be a guy standing there and screaming. You know, that's just his personality. That's what it looks like. You know, but at the same time, and I've reported this before because, I've heard from up in Buffalo that, you know, don't mistake, you know, some kindness for weakness. The guy will kick your butt if needed, you know.
Right. So. Yeah, good. Good to hear. anything else that stood out?
No, like I said, mandatory mini camp is next week.
Yep.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that should be, you know, they usually get out a little bit pretty good then. And that should be a pretty good 3 days. and before they're off for the, you know, to training camp. So mandatory mini camp is always good, Jerry. You know, you really start getting a feel for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they show some different things, you know, and all that. So that's Tuesday. So it should be interesting next week.
Yeah, maybe I'll do the podcast a little earlier than Friday. We'll see.
Yeah, well, earlier than Friday?
Yeah, I'm just saying if camp is, I don't know how long, Tuesday, you know, maybe we'll do it earlier than Friday. I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, well, I figure we'll do it after the mini camp. So yeah. we report what happened at the mini camp, you know?
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about? I don't get what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So you figure we'll do it again Friday. So
that's
we'll
fine.
Talk
Friday's
about
fine.
The mini camp.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll delete this. All right, cool.
No, it's all right, dude. It's no big deal. You know? Look, your head's... I know where your head is right now. You're not thinking, John. You're thinking about the Rangers.
My head's at the garden.
Your head's at the garden. God. 8 o'clock, bro. I get it, you know?
Yeah, and I'm looking through these questions. All right. Let's lead off with our boy, the Eddie Haskell of Giant Insider listeners, Kyle Johnson.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, is this Kyle Johnson?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Is this the Kyle Johnson who tweeted last night in the third quarter of the Celtic game, and that's his team, the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, he makes fun of me with the Red Sox. Meanwhile, he's a Celtic fan, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? That, hey, it was great just showing up. I guess that's the best we're going to see. And he basically threw the white towel in, right, Jerry? And thought his Celtics were getting swept.
Jerry? I'm trying to find it. Let's see. Oh, he says he called it reverse psychology.
Yeah, he's full of, yeah. Kyle, you are so full of you know what. You thought you were done. Yeah. You thought you were getting swept. And now I just, you know, I tweeted at him in the fourth quarter when the Celtics went on like a 17-0 run. A 17-0 run. I said, I don't think I got a response from him.
So what happened was you said Steph Curry's real good at basketball. Kyle says, well, at least I saw my team make the finals. Was nice while it lasted. Then you wrote, right.
Well, I know I put an in there when they went on a big run.
Reverse psychology.
And I don't know if you responded to that, but Kyle, oh, man. Not even one game in and the guy was quitting. Disappointing, Kyle. Very disappointing.
You got to wait two games. I quit two games after the Hurricanes were up against the Rangers. I texted Chris and said, oh, my God, they're so overmatched right now. So you got to wait two games, Kyle.
I was actually going to be sarcastic and text Jerry back and go, what hockey are you looking at?
No, I thought overmatched.
Dude, no,
they couldn't even get in the zone, though. They couldn't even get in the zone.
Dude, they were right there.
Carolina Hurricanes, that defense was so good.
Last second tie game. Carolina's not that. I didn't quite see the attraction everybody was trying to make of them.
They're good defensively.
So. But anyway. Anyway. Yeah, Kyle, very disappointing.
I'll start off with him anyway. I got to say, Foley, need to have a call-in show soon. We will in the coming weeks, buddy. We will. We promise. My question is, who do you think the starting five will be? Let's go Celtics. Oh, okay, yeah. So you know that. You know the 5-0 line. Chris kind of made that clear. I just wanted to read your question. Lemieux is the X factor right now. It sounds like he's left guard. That's Feliciano at center, Glowinski, Evan Neal, and of course Thomas. So anyway, I just wanted to read it, buddy. Give you some crap. Calvin T, assuming Tyrod Taylor continues to look solid in practice. Oh, I knew someone was going to ask this question. How does Daniel Jones have to play in camp or during the regular season in order for Tyrod Taylor to take his job? Keep up the good work,
folks. It's Daniel Jones' job.
Okay.
Let's put that to bed. Tyrod Taylor is the backup quarterback.
Calvin, though, you probably asked that question for about a million people. Booker Daniels, important question. This is obviously for Chris. Which is the perfect drink after a round of golf? Oh, or similar summer activity? A, cold water. B, cold beer. C, cold margarita. D, other.
Boom. C.
Margarita.
Yes. That was
really?
C, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No, he means after a round.
Yeah.
Yeah, not during around, after around. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice. See, yes. I could drink margaritas like the freaking Jimmy Buffett song there.
All right. No coconut. You're nothing coconut there, right?
No, I hate coconut, bro. If I was Tom Hanks, I'd be done. I'd be dead in about 2 weeks. By the way, dude, have you seen, are you a Top Gun guy?
All right, let's get it out there. Let's get it out there now. You asked me weeks ago.
Did I?
A couple movies.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I don't remember. I don't remember.
No, no, no. Let's get this out there now because it's been on my mind. A few weeks ago, you were killing me for some movies, and rightly so, that I've never seen. And you said, but you've seen Top Gun, right? And I know you're such a big Top Gun fan, so I said, yeah. I've never seen the original.
So you lied to me on the podcast.
I lied to you. Totally lied in front of the microphone. And
oh, so you're not a Top Gun guy. Okay.
I just never saw it.
I can't talk. Well, that's really
How was Maverick, though? Did you like the second? Did you like this one?
I saw Maverick on Memorial Day weekend, and Jerry, the flying scenes was insane, dude. Okay. Just insane.
Yeah.
But not as good as the original. But definitely, if you like Top, you know, if you're a Top Gun guy, which probably about 98% of the population is.
99. I think it's 99.
Yeah, you might be. You and Ryan Dunleavy are the post, probably the only one that hasn't seen High Brain
Discount. Yeah, probably not. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
But it's definitely worth seeing. I know a lot. My boy Sean Salisbury, the former quarterback, you know, he saw it and I asked him. And he said definitely worth just as good as the first one. And it definitely, to me, not as good as the original, but definitely really good and worth seeing for folks who haven't seen it yet. I'm a little upset you lied to me.
I was embarrassed. It was a lie of embarrassment.
I don't know what to tell you, Jerry. If you're going to see it, you know, obviously you better maybe check out the first one.
I usually come clean with my lies, like a week later or two. I'm like, of course I lied to you on that one. But I have been waking up 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the Vader, the Obi-Wan stuff. So that tells you buffoon I am. Set my alarm for 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so basically you didn't see the original, so you're not going to see the second one. But anyway, it's really good. It was good, Jerry. No question. It was good.
All right, Danny B, Chris, after you've seen and been hearing at OTA so far, after what you've been seeing and hearing so far, what players are you most excited about and why?
I'm pretty excited about this Bellinger kid. I got to be honest with you. And I'm excited about him, man.
And he said, thanks for all the great coverage. Sorry about that.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for enjoying. I'm pretty excited about Bellinger. I'm obviously real excited about Wandell Robinson, dude. You know?
Yeah. Seems like those two are the ones that are getting...
And Evan Neal. Look, reps. Evan Neal. You know, obviously Evan Neal. You know what, dude? Let's break it down. I mean, the first two picks, real excited about them. Mm-hmm. Real excited about Wandell and what he's showing out there. And I'm excited. Who was the third round pick again?
Azudu was one and then Flott.
Oh, Azudu. Okay. Well, Azudu was just lining up left tackle. Well, but speaking of Joshua Azudu, you know, he's been playing a lot of left tackle, man. He's getting reps at left tackle.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm excited about Bellinger.
Sounds like you like Flott too, though.
And I like Coyle. Yeah, you know what? I guess
lots of like guys.
I'm excited about the draft class, folks. Right. I'm pretty excited about the draft class.
Nice. All right. So next question from the man who does God's work on Twitter, Big Blue VCR.
Oh. Okay.
I saw that Ellerson Smith was getting reps with Tibbs out there in OTAs. Mm-hmm. Is this an indication that the new staff likes what they see from him so far? Are there other Judge era projects, Coughlin or Brightwell, that might find a home with this new staff? Well, it sounds like Coughlin was in on a blitz.
Yeah, Coughlin's been getting some reps with the ones. It would be interesting to see out minicamp next week where he lines up, if he continues to get some reps with the ones.
Yeah.
I think, you know, look, I think they look at Ellerson Smith like, hey, this kid can help us off this edge. And rightfully so. Mm. Right, Jerry? Right. Yes. I mean, you know, injuries set him back last year.
Yep.
And he flashed a little bit when he got on the field. Flashed a little bit. All right. And I think they look at him. He's that lean guy, you know, that Martindale likes, you know, that lean edge guy. You know what I mean?
Is he playing likes. Cam Brown at all too? I'm just asking you.
Cam Brown's got the red jersey on and he's been. Okay.
All right.
And he's been, he's, no, that's all right. Doesn't mean he's not on the field, Jerry. He just had a red jersey, but he's down in the depth chart. Cam Brown is down in the depth chart, bro. I can say that right now.
I like him too.
Yeah. He might be his special. He's going to have to excel in special teams, which he's really good at. All right. So, that's how he's going to make this squad, Cam Brown, special teams.
Julio Souza. Hey, guys. Awesome podcast. Another hello from Brazil. Hey, nice. A lot of Giants fans down here. Seems the receiving core is banged up. Dable said this time of year is for the guys learning and having camaraderie. Yes. Is this something to worry about? Well, hello to Brazil too, Julio. That's awesome.
No. I mean, Kadarius is going to be ready. So is Galladay. And Shep we know about. Right? Shep won't be ready till September, October.
Yeah.
So nothing to worry about. It's not like these are, you know, injuries that are going to knock them out. You know, it's just this time of year, recovering and all that. But no, don't be concerned about Galladay and Tony right now. Whether or not they stay on the field after the season starts, that's another story. But
all things Giants, asked kind of the question I asked already, but then at the end he says, ain't nothing like playoff energy in the Mecca. Nothing. Enjoy, Jerry. Thanks.
All things I agree Giants. With that.
Good stuff.
Bro. I agree with that. I've been in a garden, basketball and hockey. And
yeah.
There's nothing like Madison Square Garden during playoff, either basketball or hockey. No question about it.
Undrafted, making the team. We kind of answered that. Ramesh Chandra, thanks for the
kind
words.
See how objective I am, Jerry. See how objective.
No, I am too. No,
I'm not like you, Ranger buffoons.
But wait a minute, like
arrogance.
So here's
getting pot fans socks.
I hate that. I hate that. But I'm honest. I don't like the no quit New York thing. I think that's stupid.
Oh, that is the most idiotic.
I think the pot van sucks chant when you're okay. If the game is 6-0, okay. But when it's 2-2, or how about this, guys? When it's 3-3 in overtime against Pittsburgh, Game 7, and you got some asshole, sorry, doing the whistle, that's stupid. You're not concentrating on what you should be doing there. You have a responsibility, fans. Don't worry about Pot Van. I know you want to get your 10 seconds of laughing, but come on. You do it when you're up big if you want. That's fine. Like, give me a break.
Regular season games.
Right. Like, I'm totally honest about that. I can't stand watching. I'm watching playoff hockey, and 3 minutes in, that whistle starts. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad we have our eye on the prize. We're still talking about Pot Van, which, sorry, Ranger fans, was a legal hit. It was. The whole concept of it is stupid. There you go. I'm honest, buddy.
That's great, bro. That's great.
So I can't stand that whistle. Even my daughter, I took my daughter actually took me to a Ranger game as a birthday gift.
Yeah. And, I remember you told me that, yeah.
And she's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, Pot Van sucks. Who's that? He played a long time ago. When? I think he retired in 86. And they still chant it? Yeah. And then she says to me, wow, they hate him more than you hate DeSean Jackson. And I'm like, apparently they do, hon. I guess so. I don't know. So anyway, or she should have said Sidney Crosby. But anyway, so yeah, I couldn't agree more. So there we go.
That incident had to happen like 79 or something. 79. Right,
yeah, it was Ulf Nielsen.
Yeah, I thought so.
79. And it wasn't
a
dirty hit.
Hedberg or Nielsen? Was it Nielsen?
Nielsen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was never the same after that. It wasn't even a dirty hit. It was just, that was Pot Van.
With a hip check, if I remember right. Something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a slew foot like your boy Subban does all the time.
Oh, God. He's gone, by the way. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, who's good? Who's next question? Let's go. I'm ready. I'm gonna get crap for that one. Watch,
Subban.
Yeah. See, I had to throw that in there. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one from Eddie Lee. Eddie Lee. Hey, guys. I have 2 young girls, 1 year old and 2.5 years old. When do you think is the best age to bring into a Giants game where everybody can enjoy the game, a.k.a. less temper tantrums and screaming? Eddie, I have temper tantrums when I watch the Giants, so that's never going away. Thanks and love the pod. It's the one I look forward to all week. That's awesome, buddy. It depends
one.
How interested they are in the whole experience. To be honest with you, I took them as young as 6, 7, and they seemed to like the whole thing. So I think that seems to be, for me, that age worked.
Yeah. Well, you're going to hear it, even if your daughter's 7, 8, you're going to hear some people in your section saying some things that, you know,
right,
could be vicious, you know, it could be. Yeah, look, all I can say is, you know.
Yeah, I didn't even take that into account. That's a great point.
I think that's what he means. Like, when is it kind of like okay to take them? I think that's what the question.
He said less temper tantrums, so I'm not sure if he's talking about the people around him or his kids.
Oh, I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, that's a good point. So, yeah, how
I
much
took
a
lot of people around him going crazy, and his daughter's looking like, oh my God, you know, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That you can't escape. But as far
can't escape from that, buddy. Yeah.
If you're around people that are pretty normal, first off, sit in a lower level. don't go upper level if you can.
And don't go to an Eagle game.
Yeah, no, I that's the one game I wouldn't let my daughter go to this year.
Right. Don't go to an
Eagle.
I was
like, you're not going to that game. No way. Yep. And she, you know, they're older. But I would say 6, 7, that it's enough. There's enough going on in the game for them to be entertained, I think. That's a good age.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
We'll do a few more. This offseason, from Chris in Albany. This offseason reminds me of the 1997 when we hired Coach Fossil. We had a terrible offense for years, Duke quarterback who was underperforming, to which we hired a quarterback whisperer. Am I crazy, or does it seem like there's a lot of parallels? There are. But Chris, let me tell you something. I make the mistake a lot, and I used to do it a lot more, of saying, this feels like 84. This feels like 79. This feels like, you know. Yeah. And in the words of Dan Vassell, giant golfer on Big Blue Interactive, can't this year just be its own shitty year? Like, I get it, right? It's and that was, of course, during the McAdoo era and Shermer. It does feel that way, but, you know, each year is very unique. But I get what you're saying. Underperforming Duke quarterback, we'll see. I kind of hope it's not like that because Dave Brown completely failed. So I kind of hope it's the outcome's better there. So,
by the way, did you happen to hear what Tiki Brava talked about Dave Brown? How Dave Brown really thought he was great. Did you hear Tiki say that?
I did not hear that.
Oh, yeah. I heard Tiki on his radio show. They were talking about Dave Brown came up, you know, and Tiki said, oh, yeah, he was real confident. He really thought he was good. I was like, oh, my God. Is he kidding me, this guy? Not Tiki. I mean, is Dave Brown really thought? And yeah, I'm telling you, Tiki said it. And I was surprised by that, bro.
Supposedly, Dave Brown could read defenses like a genius watching film and everything. And
only problem is, you know, during the game when 11 games, guys are coming at you, it's a
game's not played on TV.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
Two more. NYS, I'm sorry, New York Sport, NYS, nice one, Jerry. New York Sport a Fan 199. Chris and Jerry, knowing what you know now, let's say Chris Mara hired you both to be the GM and assistant GM in 2018 after the 3-13 season, who would you have drafted? So the Saquon draft. I think Chris
the
and I
Saquon
would have,
draft?
I think Chris and I unanimously would have walked up there at the
wait
time.
Wait a minute, Jerry. Wait a minute. Is Saquon he asking draft. About the 2018 draft or the 2019 draft?
No, he's saying after the 3-13 2017 season.
Gotcha.
Who would you have drafted in 2018?
Quentin Nelson.
That we would have walked up together and read that name. Yeah. Yes.
Quentin Nelson.
I mean, knowing what we know now, I mean, you know, maybe Josh Allen, but at the time it would have been Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, not at the time. Yeah,
yeah,
would have been Quentin Nelson.
Yeah. Owen Kane, we answered Cordell Flott. I'll go one more. And by the way, Chris, everybody's asking if we're going to London. That's going to be a very tall task, guys.
Yeah, that's a tall task.
John N. at Good News 08. Hey, Chris and Jerry, I haven't heard many people mention Quincy Roche lately. How do you think he fits the scheme, and would it be primarily on third down NASCAR type of package due to Tibbs and Aziz on the outside? Thanks, hashtag Buffoon Crew.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to answer that as we move along here. You know, right now he's been a guy, the only time he's really been mentioned is when I talked about him getting punched by Corey Cunningham last week. You know, but he's a guy that, you know, that's what he's been doing. He's been coming off the edge. You know, he's one of those rotational guys, and we'll see if he makes the team. We'll say he should, but, all right. You know, we'll see.
I got to go one more. Philip at Disgruntled Phil. I feel like I'm being set up here. Jerry, Rangers winning this series and having a chance for the Stanley Cup or the Giants making it to the playoffs this year. Oh, if you had to choose, what would it be?
That's an easy one.
We're the Giant Insider, buddy. Sundays are Giant days. Sorry. I'd rather have the Giants make the playoffs than the Rangers win this series. You can put a gun to my head and I'll give you that same answer. Listen, I'm rooting for the Rangers, but if I have the choice of one or the other and the Rangers and the Giants to all of a sudden become a playoff team this year, then you got to win three games to go to the Super Bowl. I don't care. I'll take that, dude. That's my – and I love the Rangers. The Giants are one, the Rangers are two, the Yankees are way down the list because it's baseball. But I would rather and yeah, I'm gonna get beat up for this, but I'd rather the Giants make the playoffs.
Yeah, shouldn't get beat up. That's where you feel.
No, I know Ranger fans, and some Ranger fans are gonna come at me because they are an obnoxious fan base, Chris.
No comment.
There you go. But no, all guys, right. The Garden tonight, baby, gonna be awesome. Can't wait. So.
Yeah, should be anything pumping. Else? Should be pumping. No, that's it, man. So we'll talk next week. We'll talk about the mandatory mini camp that's coming up. And that should be interesting, Jerry. The whole team, the whole thing going on. And so we'll talk about that. And there'll be a lot to talk about. No question about it.
Good stuff, buddy.
And Jerry, you know, it's unbelievable, dude. I was thinking about yesterday, you know. Like, training camp's right around the corner, man. Can you believe how fast time's going?
No, it's flying.
I mean, here they are. I remember looking at the day when the Giants email me the off-season schedule, you know, Jerry?
Yeah.
And I looked at it. Oh, OTA, you know, May, whatever. I'm saying, oh, mandatory minicamp. That's a while off, you know. And here we are, you know.
Yeah, yep.
And then before you know it, I'll be getting the dates for the training camp and the schedule. I'm like, holy crap, you know, Memorial Day's over with, right?
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. That's why I said when we started, I'm like, it's summer's here. That's crazy.
Summer's here. Here we are, mandatory camp, and training camp is right around the corner, and it's incredible, Jerry, how time flies, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Can't wait for all that stuff, too. Good stuff, buddy. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.